Angel Mystic Atira was born with an amazing gift. Atira has seen and talked with angels and her spirit guide for as long as she can remember. And now she connects you with spirit as the angels answer your questions on past lives, passed over loved ones, dreams, relatives, workplace, and spiritual experiences. Atira is an Edgar Cayce Foundation handpicked psychic and is featured in The Days of Wonder by G.W. Hardin. Atira's magical, uplifting, worldwide readings are just $100 for 45 minutes, which includes an audio tape. Email angelreadings@angelscribe.com. That's angelreadings@angelscribe.com for an appointment, or go to Atira's website at angelscribe.com. For metaphysical, straight talk from the heart, it's Atira, Angel Mystic.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And today I'm so excited to share the airwaves with another very gifted psychic clairvoyant. And we're going to have a great time, so I am going to remind you, please to not call in till half past the hour, 4:30 Pacific Standard Time. But the call-in number will be 1-877-876-5227 worldwide. So Nancy is a very gifted psychic clairvoyant. She's also a tarot card reader, but she has a new book out called Raised by Angels, which I'm excited to talk to her about, because in this business, it's not often I run across someone who was raised by the angels, too. I grew up from a very young age with my guide, Dom, and with angels. So, Nancy, welcome to my airwaves.
Well, hello.
Yes, it's exciting. So tell me, first of all, a little bit about your book, because it sounds very exciting, and unfortunately I didn't get a chance to review it before.
My book is called Raised by Angels because at a tender age of 6, I had a very freak accident where I either should have died or been paralyzed, and neither one happened. But what did happen is that as I was coming to, I could hear this beautiful voice talking to me, telling me, "You're okay, Nancy. Everything's all right. You're not hurt. You know a lot of things now. You can't use it yet. We'll let you know when." And at 6 years old, it's like this beautiful voice is just talking to me. I'm going, "Oh, okay, you know, as I'm coming to." And it just stuck with me. And what happens is that the voice, which I consider my angels, have been with me ever since that time. And they've actually guided me through a lot of different life, let's say, problems, techniques, and survival modes that people have to go through. So my book is actually a bio about my life, but used as a self-help book for everybody else that is on their journey, because everyone is on a journey. It's just that most people think that they're on the journey alone.
And right, really autopilot. We forget that we have all this backup. It's wonderful to hear another clairvoyant talk about having their angels, guides, and masters with them from a very young age. I think one thing that we're going into with all the indigo crystal, all these kids, which I think they've been around for a while. It's not just the ones now that we hear so much about, but the permission to have a support system by people like us, and also family members now are not shushing their children so much. So it's wonderful to know that there's a book that could be very instrumental in helping parents deal with, all of a sudden, my kid's talking to angels.
Yeah, because a lot of times, you know, kids, they hear this, they hear it all the time, everybody does, it truly is their God-given right, but through, you know, society, fear, worry of being said you're going to be different or whatever, parents tend to shut down the kids, and it's like, you just can't do that. They're here for a purpose, they're here for a reason, and they have these gifts, and the gifts are coming out. And fortunately, we are much open, you know, like now compared to when I was a child.
Our generation was, you know, shush, let's take him to the church. At least that was my mother's answer.
Well, my,
you know, if I don't know what to do with her, let's get her help. Because they were very frightened of it.
Mine didn't happen like that because my voices always told me that I could not intervene. I could not say what I know, that they'll tell me when. And they didn't really let me do that until I was a teenager.
And I think that's unusual because usually kids tend to blurt it out because they're so innocent.
Well, it was really funny because, I mean, from the time I had my accident, I could look at somebody and I would know they were going to die.
Mm.
But every time I was going to approach them, I would get this beautiful voice saying, Nancy, it's okay. They know where they're going. They're going to be more peaceful. They're going to be much happier. This is not for you to interfere with. You know, so you have to let it be. And the way the voice came across, again, was so gentle and so guiding that there was no reason in my mind to even doubt that what they were telling me was true.
I think it's very important to discern that, certainly when we do see things like someone might be going to transition or die, that certainly free will can be inserted and change the course of their life, too, because we are co-creators.
Mm-hmm.
So truly, you know, maybe spirit was guiding you because that's part of that person's path, and they don't have the need to know.
And it could be, yeah. You know, so mm-hmm. I didn't question it, I just followed it. And
so when did you really kind of come out with it then more, when you said when you were a teenager?
Yeah, what happened was I was on my way to school. My brother was driving, and the area that I lived in was a two-lane highway with not really a speed limit on it. So, you know, we're teenagers driving in a car going to school, and it was him, which my brother, his girlfriend, and her brother were all in the front seat, and I was in the back seat with all the books. And we started to go up this hill at about 60 miles per hour, and we got about halfway up this hill, and all of a sudden, just like a movie was being shown to me, it showed me what was going to happen to us on the other side of the hill if it wasn't stopped or wasn't changed. We were all going to die because we were going to have a very bad car accident. So when I got this movie shown through me, you know, through my eyes while I sat there, I said, man, I don't want to die. This isn't my turn to die. So I actually started yelling to my brother to slow down the car. And he, of course, thought I was crazy, you know, because I never did that before, so, but I would not stop yelling, saying, slow down this car, I don't want to die today, it's not my turn to die, it's not your turn to die, so you got to slow down this car.
So more the reaction of that you don't go into hysteria, rather than, you know, you have the psychic ability and you're seeing something.
Mm-hmm. And just like what they showed me is exactly how it was going to play out on the other side of the hill. Luckily, my brother did slow down at least about 40, 45. So instead of hitting this car broadside, which meant we all would have been killed going 60, he actually sideswiped it going 45. And I was the only one who really got hurt, but I didn't know I was hurt until it was all over.
Yeah, life-altering moment.
Oh, yeah, it was, because I was the only one who got out of the car, made all the phone calls to everybody that needed to be called, and just kind of sat there and waited for everybody else to catch up with the time. You know,
so when did you really put your work into motion, though?
I really started putting most of the work into motion after the age of 25. For other people, I shouldn't say that. All through my growing up times, I had different directions to follow. You know, like my oldest brother, when I was 19 or 20, I hugged him after a New Year's Eve party knowing that that night he was going to die, and I had to allow it because of what he had said to me, you know, like, you take care of yourself, sis, which he had never, ever said to me before. So, again, I couldn't intervene with that. So I had to allow it. So it started, and it's different kinds of variations. But I actually started doing tarot card readings about 26 years ago.
So how did you go from this kind of undeveloped self-knowing to getting to study tarot cards? Did you pick up a book, meet a person? How did that transition happen?
One of my girlfriends one day called me and said, hey, Nancy, you know, you want to go with me and get some cards? And I thought she was talking about birthday cards, anniversary cards. I didn't know what kind of
real
cards.
Real psychic for that moment, huh?
Yeah.
We have our human moments. People don't realize that.
Yeah, they
don't. We are human.
Yeah, they don't, you know. And it was like actually the farthest thing from my mind that what she was talking about, and what she was talking about was going with her to pick out a tarot deck. And I had not really messed with the tarot deck before because I had my angels and I just trusted them and I followed them. So it's kind of like I knew, you know, a lot of stuff anyway. So I said, oh, yeah, you know, I'll go with you. I'll meet you over there. So we get over there and she's looking at these tarot cards. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking at cards. I said, I thought you were talking about birthday cards. And she said, no, I want to learn how to read tarot. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go look at some books. So I actually walked away while she was looking at the cards. And a couple minutes later, she had, you know, walked away from them because she went to look at something else, and she said to me, hey, Nancy, come here. Well, in order for me to get to where I was, to where she was, I had to walk past this shelf that had cards on them. As I went to walk past them, this deck literally fell off the shelf in front of me. And so I picked it up. I said, hey, this is really pretty. This is a deck you might want to use. And then for some reason, I just kind of reached over to the side And I grabbed this book that said Princess Tarot or something like that. And I said, you probably need this book.
What deck was it?
Well, the deck that was the Thoth deck.
Ah, mm-hmm.
Okay, by Crowley. Mm. You know, so I just gave it to her. I didn't think anything about it. You know, I felt kind of fun in my hands. It felt like mm-hmm. good energy, but I really wasn't paying any attention. And every night for the next 2 weeks, my friend would call me and say, I cannot read these cards. So for 2 weeks, I listened to her moan, and finally I said, what can be so hard about reading those cards? And her answer was, well, if you think you can do it, then you just come over here and show me. And so I said, if I come over there and show you, will you please shut up? And so I went over there, and I started shuffling up the cards. I blessed them. I don't know why I did what I did. It was just very natural to me.
So it's more like a past life thing or a memory.
Yeah, you know.
Just
so
the innate knowing.
Yeah, I just knew. So I started shuffling the cards. But instead of telling her about her, I started reading her parents, which I didn't know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, told her all kinds of stuff that just was coming out. And she goes, how do you know all that? And I go, I don't know. It's just telling me a story right here. She said, but you didn't even look to see what the cards are. And I said, no, they're just telling me a story. And that's what I'm basing it on.
I think people don't realize that really cards, a lot of the things that we use are tools. They're really often more for the client than they are for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're really hearing it like in your head more or from spirit more. You may use the cards as a frame of reference, but most of the time they're actually to distract the person. So they're not nervous that you're getting this stuff.
Right.
A different level.
Yeah, it's like when I do a reading, I get like 50 words a second coming through my head. So I'm basically hearing that. It's like, oh, yeah, I know what that means.
Do you hear inside or outside of your head?
Inside.
Mm.
But then I also get feelings.
Right. Do you hear it like when you read a book to yourself, you know how you kind of hear the words in your head or
mm-hmm.
the story in your head? Now, this is a really interesting thing, and you may have found out about it too, Nancy, is I was teaching a class, and I said, well, you know how when you're reading a book and you hear it in your head, and several students said, no, we don't hear it in our head. And I went, huh? You know, because for me, if that's my norm,
right.
You assume everybody does. So obviously not everybody reads the book in the same way, nor will they develop their ability in the same way hearing this. Like, you know, for you, obviously some of it was like seeing a black and white movie or a movie in your head,
mm-hmm.
the instant in the car. Sometimes it's words. Sometimes it's symbols. So the pattern of how somebody develops can be very eclectic.
Oh, sure. And, you know, and my thought is, when I used to teach people how to learn to read tarot cards, I would tell them, don't second-guess that feeling that you're getting. You know, don't try to read into it. Don't.
Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, they get the book and they lay the cards out and they look at the book and they're trying to make everything fit, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
the book is a guideline.
Right, and I tell them, read your book one time, put it away, don't ever look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like
it
that.
It does distract you. I think the book's sort of getting hooked on the book and that version of the truth
right.
of who designed the cards can often make you
right.
miss
it's things. It's not their stuff. It's not, you know, it's not what they're really feeling. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I tell people, read the book once just so you kind of know a little bit about it, and then truly just put it away because you're really not going to need it. You know, but the strangest thing is after I had this car accident, because I often asked my angels, why can't I say anything? Why do I have to know these things, but why can't I say anything? And their answer to me for a long time was, we'll tell you when you need to know, or we'll, you know, let you have a better understanding when the time is right.
Yeah, that divine timing clause gets us sometimes, doesn't it?
Right. And it's like, well, okay, fine, but I don't know why I have to have this. So I really never, you know, I did not go through the normal pressures that a lot of people have gone through who really did come out and say, okay, well, I'm seeing this, I'm hearing this. Mine was really kind of very protective for me. And so after I had this car accident, I couldn't walk for a month when it was all said and done. So during that month, I actually laid in the bed going, all right, I need some answers here. I want to know why I have to know these things, but yet I can't change them. I want to know why I need to know these things, and yet you won't let me interfere with some things. And
yeah, sort of the dark night of the soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
I think every good clairvoyant goes, well, every human being goes through it, but
mm-hmm.
I think clairvoyance, when you start getting stuff that you know is proven to be factual later, you do question, why can't I stop things, or why can't I change some things? And we really have to learn that there are some things that are, you know, it's just for our knowledge, not necessarily to do anything about. I think that's one of the hardest things as a clairvoyant to learn.
Mm-hmm. See, and they kind of told me that. They said, the other thing, Nancy, is you have to understand something. If we would have allowed you at the age of 6 and up start to tell people, you know, what you know or what you're seeing, they probably would have locked you away in a mental institution and drugged you, and you would never, ever be able to be the person that you're going to be or know the things that you're going to know. And so with that kind of answer, I thought, well, yeah, that's probably true, because I remember as a child they did a lot of strange things to people that said, oh, yeah, I'm hearing this voice. You know?
It's so enough to make you be quiet, go silent, truly.
You know, so they protected me, and they made sure that I got to do my growth, that there really wasn't anything going to be standing in my way other than if I did it myself. You know, so
you wake up, you get the tarot cards, you're kind of taking on your friend about this. Hey, like, let me show you how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, then, how did you make this next step to doing it for other people?
Well, it was really funny because she said, Nancy, you were so right. She said, I have a couple other people, you know, that, you know, I'm going to say something to. And I go, you really don't have to do that. Because I was a nurse. I was working 11 to 7 at night, you know. And
so your background is in healthcare.
Right. So, you know, I would be working 11 to 7 at night, and all of a sudden I had these people calling me all during the day saying, hey, Nancy, you know, your friend told me that you're really good at what you do, and I'd like to know if you could, you know, answer a couple questions for me. And I'm going, well, understand this. I'm really just learning how to do all of this, and I will try, but there's not any guarantees here. And they go, oh, no, don't worry about it. You know, so I started.
So it really spread through word of mouth and your friends.
Very,
you know, a friend tells a friend, and pretty soon 32,000 people know.
Right. And so you know what? I said to myself, well, you know, I'm working 11 to 7 at night, and I have all these people call me during the day. Maybe I should start charging them some money, and maybe they'll go away. Well, that didn't happen. Okay?
Didn't really have any, quote-unquote, outside formal reading training other than the book?
None.
Wow.
None, and I never even read the book. You know, I just picked up the cards, and it all was, like, right there. And that deck that I got 26 years ago now, I actually used it for 25 years. And so on my website, there's pictures of some of the cards, how they originally looked versus how they look, you know, after the 25 years' worth of usage. And it's kind of cool to look at them because there was actually almost no pictures on them, and they looked like hourglass. That's how they were shaped.
So let's go from now you know, basically it's kind of taken over your life and become a career.
Mm-hmm.
So you're obviously giving up your nursing career and moving into being a full-time reader.
Right.
Did you do local things? Did you just do out of your home, word of mouth, or did you evolve?
At first it was local, and I did it out of the house. And then I really started having so many people that I thought, I don't want all these people coming to my house. So I went out and I got a very small office. And then within, I think, a year and a half, I had a much bigger office. And a little bit after that, I'd actually opened what was called the Inner Awareness Center, where I had different modalities of people there. You know, like I had Reiki people there, hypnotherapists there, healers there.
Now, is that still in existence?
Actually, it's not, because after a while, it really got to be too much.
It's interesting because, you know, often psychic people, you know, get involved in centers like this, and you know what? The paperwork and the mundane stuff gets away from us,
mm-hmm.
and it really distracts from what our work is. I find that for so many, because there's so much mundane state stuff, paperwork, and things that go along with doing this kind of business, especially if there's healers and other people involved, that it certainly can get away from you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I thought, you know, this is really, I mean, I did it for like 5 years like that, and it got to be a whole bunch, because I had like 1,600 clients of my own, you know, plus I was trying to help all of them get their stuff going.
So let's talk about this. You do tarot card, and then you got into remote viewing,
mm-hmm.
as part of your ability.
Right.
Clearing or energy fields or auric fields, and then you also do some in medical intuitive.
Right.
Is your medical intuitive like Carolyn Mises type, you know, where you scan the body?
It's funny, yeah, and it comes to me without me trying to do it sometimes, you know. And the first time that happened to me, it kind of put me back a little bit because I thought,
well,
what?
Well, I would think as a nurse it must have shown up very early in your career.
Well, it did, but I was, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, that has a lot to do with my nursing and stuff, and I really didn't think it had a lot to do with the other part of it, but it kept happening. So,
how do you see that when you see that? What is it for, like, for you?
I can look at a person, and it's called kind of like scanning the body, and as I'm looking down their body, it's not like I'm looking through their body, but there'll be like spots that will pop up, or there'll be like where somebody may have a scar that I'll see like a line on their body, and I'm not exactly sure, you know, what it all
is. So you're not necessarily seeing organ by organ.
No, it shows me something.
Because everybody's different
like
how they see it.
Yeah, it shows it's like there's something not quite right. Then that's
does it show in like a color, a grayness,
like
or
a grayness. Or a black, like a black spot or a black dot?
Do you have different kinds of things that show for things that are like, say, cancer versus black spots maybe, and where an organ failure would be a grayness?
I will see that, and then I will get a little pain that goes with it.
So you actually have to feel something physically?
Yeah, sometimes I get to.
I worry when medical intuitives do that. I know that it's a side effect of a lot of medical intuitives, but I really think it can be quite painful to have that experience all the time.
Well, see, a lot of times, you know, it'll happen, and then, but I'm in the frame of mind that this is not my pain.
Right.
That this is to help me kind of help them figure out where it's coming from, because they may say, well, you know, I have this pain in my left shoulder, but I'm seeing something definitely
something different
on the other side.
Well, I really want to encourage anyone who is studying to become a medical intuitive to really do some research to that, so they don't have to experience pains, that they can experience it as a pressure or something else, because I know a lot of medical intuitives tend to take it on. Everybody's style is different, and how they learn is different, and your angels obviously keep you very, very safe, which is wonderful. I want to make sure we give your website, because it won't be long till we go to phone calls. You want to give your website out?
Yes, it's www.nancys, that's N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com.
And you also have a radio show, so you should say the name. Is that the name of your radio show as well?
I have two radio shows, actually. One is on achieveradio.com, and it is the Metaphysical World and Beyond. And then I have one right on BBS that's called The Metaphysical World and More.
Fabulous. So what time is that usually on so people can tune in to listen?
Both of them are on every Monday. BBS is on at 3 p.m. Central Time. And Achieve Radio is on at 6 p.m. Central Time.
Wonderful. I'm glad you're part of the BBS network. I want to make sure and give the number again for people who want to call in and get the opportunity to experience Nancy's way of doing readings. The number is 1-877-876-5227. And Nancy, so when a caller calls in, are you actually using tarot, or are you just listening to your angel's guides?
No. Well, I get both. I use the tarot because I get so much information so quickly that when I look at the pictures, it focuses for me like right away.
Are you still using the same kind of deck?
I actually bought a second Crowley soft deck. Mm-hmm. And I've been using it now for about almost three years, and it's already starting to lose color.
Oh, I'm sure they actually lose color if you use them a lot and you're consistent in the use of them. So, do you tape your readings?
The readings are 30 minutes, and I tape them because there's a lot of information that comes in that people need to work with. They need to remember. They need to practice. And it's been proven to me over and over again that if it's not on tape, within the first probably 7 to 10 minutes, they now no longer remember what you told them at the very beginning.
Well, it's true. They get so excited. They want to help you also. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. They want to help you tell you what's going on when you get a hit. And so it is important, I think, really to have the opportunity to have the tape to listen to, because, you know, we get you for 30 minutes, maybe 45 an hour, and after that, you know, you need backup to re-listen and keep the momentum going. Say the name of your book, because I really want people to get the opportunity to read it.
The name of the book is Raised by Angels.
And it's available already and published, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you said it also gives techniques. So could you give me an example of a technique that you teach in your book?
Yeah, the technique that I use is very, very simple. I use a lot of positive energy all the time because it's the positive energy that works the best.
But what does that mean? Because if I just say positive energy, everybody's version of that might be this, might be different. So do you have one set, like, exercise or example you use in your book?
There's a lot of positive affirmations that are throughout my book, you know, of thinking positive so that people can understand that if you think positive, you get the positive back. There's a letter in there. It's called the Let Go Letter, to let people allow themselves to let go of the past hurts, pains, angers, and guilt that a lot of people carry. There is another technique in there of being able to tell somebody that you really don't like what they said or they don't like what you did without being mean, rude, or nasty. The letter can also be done by children because children have a lot of times a very hard time trying to talk, you know, trying to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
So in a letter, they can do it much easier and a lot of times much better only because they don't have to, you know, say it at that moment.
There's another thing that you say in your bio and information on the net that I really loved. It says Nancy also does pet readings.
Okay.
And I have a really good friend that does pet readings. I love what you say because you say that it's easier to do pet readings because than for persons because the pet have their own psychic ability and they're not hung up on telling what can happen. You know,
right.
Humans get that what can't work or what can't happen or, you know, you can't know that, where an animal's just open, naturally open and loving.
Right, which is really, and it's fun to do pets because, and they know you're doing them, and they just love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they'll sit there or lay there, whichever they're most comfortable doing, and then just kind of let you, I don't need to have them in front of me. Mm-hmm. All I need to do is really have their name.
Well, because everything's vibration. Everything runs on vibration.
Right.
So it's interesting when I read your bio and went over everything. It really is kind of like you're eclectic. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You do tarot card readings. You do medical intuitive. You do all kinds of psychic things. And so it sounds to me like you really kind of got all your gifts going. You know, you hear, sense, know, get symbols. Can communicate with animals because often people develop in one avenue,
mm-hmm.
and that's their comfort zone. They may not skip into different things, but it appears to me that you really are pretty much open to all the aspects of being clairaudient and clairsentient. And so, what is your goal? Is it to teach more with your book?
Actually, it is. It's to really help people understand, like I said a little bit earlier, that they're truly not alone. That there are angels with them, they have guides with them, they have their own intuition there if they would just listen to it and just allow themselves to use it. So to me, it would be very helpful for people to understand that they really have a lot of things with their own ability, and all they have to do is just allow it and get out of their own way.
But I think that's hard for people to do sometimes.
Very hard.
To allow that because they were so caught by our belief systems and our even our religious or cultural backgrounds, all of those things are not, until maybe recent years, so conducive
right.
to having divine guidance because really up until the last 10 years, you would not see what we see on TV today, John Edwards and John Holland and just Doreen Virtues and the Sylvia Browns of the world make it more in the public eye. And even on the Sci-Fi Channel, Ghostbusters even, you know, they're taking a less threatened look at what is spirit doing
mm-hmm.
than it used to be. Is, you know, it used to be if you said spirits, you know, they were freaking out and it was a ghost and oh my God stuff rather than it might be Aunt Sally coming to visit.
Right. You know, and it's really important that the people are actually opening up and allowing what's out on the television now, on radio too, to just allow it, because just about everybody at some point in time goes through a feeling that they are not quite sure of, and they don't know who to talk to a lot of times, or they're afraid to talk to somebody. So the more information that these people get, the more they understand that they truly are not alone, the easier it is for people to accept and just kind of go with the flow.
Now, since you use tarot cards, most people would say that that's more of a psychic thing, that you're picking up stuff. that are is immediately going on with the person, but do you also do mediumship within the context of the tarot reading where you might have a connection to somebody's passed over loved one?
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they just come through anyway. It's not like I have a choice. You know, they just come through. They just do what, you know, what they need to do to let that person know that they're there. And, again, that they're not alone. You know, so it, sometimes it just occurs. If somebody says, you know, can you communicate with so-and-so, as I start to turn over cards, usually a figure in the card will come up, and I will kind of talk a little bit about their personality to see if that's who it is.
Well, it sounds like we have a caller. Welcome to the airwaves. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Could you tell us your name, and then you can ask Nancy for a little insight to your life?
Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Where are you calling from?
From Tacoma.
Okay, welcome to the show, Elaine. Nancy?
Okay, hi, Elaine. Do you have a question?
No, just what the chair said would be great.
Okay. First card up, do you have a son?
Yes.
Is he a really nice kid?
Yes, very nice.
That's how he comes up. He comes up as a Prince of Cups. Prince of Cups means he's as nice on the inside as he shows people on the outside. How old is he?
28.
He's actually got some more money coming his way anytime between now and September. So tell him not to worry so much because he does get himself uptight a lot. Does not necessarily like people to know that, okay?
Okay.
Do you have a husband or a boyfriend?
Husband.
Can he be kind of moody?
Yep.
Yep. Sometimes you want to lock him in a closet, don't you? You know, he holds on to a lot of hurts, pains, and angers, and guilt and stuff from a lot of things that he's gone through since he's, you know, as a child and as an adult. Trying to talk to him is really very, very hard. You can't ask him lots and lots of questions because he's going to shut down. So do you guys talk through things or do you talk around them?
Probably around.
Okay, would you like him to talk through them?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the way to do it. And this is actually in my book too, but I'm going to say it real quick. Yeah, and this is for anybody who's listening. If there's a person that you have a relationship and they don't like to talk, don't ask them bunches of questions. Simply say this. Say, I love you enough to know there's something going on inside of you. I care enough to know that it is really bothering you. Do you realize that if you don't hint to me what this is, share this with me, or just outright tell me what is going on, you're going to make me guess. And if I have to guess about what is going on inside of you, I'm going to be real human, and I'm going to guess negative. Because, you see, we as humans don't guess positive. And if I guess negative about what is going on inside of you, that could really hurt our relationship. And I love you, and I don't want that. Do you? And once you say do you, which is the only question, you then turn and walk away. You don't even wait for their answer. Because if you stand there after saying all that, because basically you've said that you love them, you care about them, you know something's going on, and you don't want to guess. But by walking away, you're giving them their space. So now they have a little bit of time to think about what they need to say or how to say it. You might want to try that, okay?
Oh, that's great advice. Thank you. I've never heard it that way before.
A lot of times people don't hear it this way, but just direct quotes from my angels.
And what's the name of your book?
It's called Raised by Angels. You yourself come up as a Princess of Wands, which means you're too nice for your own good. Your emotions run very deep. You get hurt very easily. You do not like people to know that. So you're one who tries to tuck a lot in, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
But that's going to hurt you more than help you. And the reason for that is whatever people tuck inside themselves, you're tucking in a magnet, which means you're going to continue to pull the same energy to you over and over again. May not be with the same person, the same, you know, instance, but it's the same energy. And after a while, that energy gets the best of you, and it actually breaks down your own immune system, which means you're setting yourself up to become sick at a later date. All right? So you don't want to tuck stuff in.
Now, that really makes sense.
Well, thank you.
You have a great way of putting things.
Good. It makes it really simple that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems so complicated, but you make it sound simple.
The only reason why it sounds so complicated most of the time, again, is because a lot of people try to make things so logical. And truly with emotions and logic, they really never go together. We try, but they don't. That emotional part of you, that psychic part of you, those go together. Those work together. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye, hon. It's true that we sometimes also, what I really saw what you did with the first question was you really made it about, I care for you, but that if you don't, if you're not showing up, I can't fix it.
Right.
A great way to handle that. Again, the number to call in if you want a mini reading today, Nancy, is 1-877-876-5227. Welcome to the airwaves. Hello.
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 Hi.
Name and where you're calling from.
Jules, and I'm calling from Puyallup.
Hi, Jules. Welcome
Hi,
to the airwaves.
Thank you.
Got a question for Nancy or just want the adventure?
Just for my highest good.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have a hard time also kind of like talking about what's really going on inside of you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay. If you would just take and write yourself a letter to yourself, about what's really hurt you, made you mad, or made you feel guilty from as far back as you can remember all the way through to present day,
okay,
you'd be quite surprised how much stuff that you probably stuffed inside. And it's kind of like repeated. It again, gets repeated by different things, but it's repeated. So, again, like I told the lady before, whatever we tuck inside, we're going to keep pulling to us.
Right.
Okay? So if you can sit down and you can write this letter from start to finish without stopping, without leaving anything out, at the end of it, you're going to put it away for probably 4 hours to 8 hours. Then you're going to pick it up, reread it, and then you're going to burn it. And the reason for the burning is because that's the way to release things, okay?
Okay.
And so what happens is that once you do that, it's kind of like you've taken this whole big chain off of yourself, and it's much, much easier than to deal with everything.
Okay.
So the other part of you is that you also do get hurt real easy, and you, like I'm telling you, hold on to it way too much, and you've got to be careful not to hold on, okay?
Okay.
Holding on isn't going to be the answer for anybody. The other thing is that you're also coming up with anything is possible through the power of God. So whatever you're believing in from your heart and in your God, you get. You just have to know what it is and not be afraid to go for it, okay?
Okay.
The other thing is that you also worry way too much.
That's true.
Most people do. And so for that part, instead of worrying in a negative way, because, again, whatever you give out to the universe as far as word or thought goes, it's like you're expecting it back, and the universe gives it back. So instead of worrying in a negative way, you need to learn to take the negative words, negative thoughts, turn them to positive words, positive thoughts, and put that out instead. So, for example, can you tell us what your biggest worry is like right now?
Probably my mother.
Okay. So has your mom been sick?
No, she's just older and getting a little dementia.
Okay. Well, so instead of worrying about that going on with your mom, I mean, it's something that you can't really stop, but you can make it a little easier on yourself and start saying to yourself, what a healthy, happy body my mom now has. Now, her body could be, you know, much healthier. Her mind may get a little, you know, frazzled, but still, there's a positive part to that, which can also help it slow down a little bit. Okay? Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that you have to take better care of yourself. Because
yeah,
you're not taking
cold.
As good care of yourself as you should, okay?
Okay.
You come up with a love card for yourself. That means you need to learn how to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to do that?
I'm working on that. Actually, I've been working on me really well lately.
Good. Learning how to say no would help you out tremendously. Not just going to say no all the time. And I tell people there's a technique for that. The best way to do that is every morning when you go into the bathroom, really don't care what you're doing, just practice saying no several different ways. Look at yourself in the mirror sometimes when you're saying no, because we, not only can we then hear ourselves, but because we are such visual people, you're actually seeing and hearing you say no. It gives you a lot of good power, a lot of good energy for yourself, good strength to know that it's okay. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Your mom can be pretty stubborn, can't she?
Oh, very.
She comes up as the Empress, which means she's stubborn, hard-headed, and opinionated, but she really has got a good heart, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, you just have to kind of like relax with her. Again, it's not that you can change what she's going through. You can just try to be a little bit more positive about stuff, okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I love you, Tara.
Thank you, Joel.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that saying no thing is hard for almost everybody I know. It's like we're really good at, like, giving to others, but, boy, we're last on our list. It's
very
difficult. So what a great technique, you know, to sometimes practice saying no. So then when it comes time to have to say it, we have different ways to do it and not feel so caught in it. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi.
Hi. First name and where are you calling from?
Rebecca from San Jose.
Hi, Rebecca from San Jose. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi, Rebecca.
You.
Hi. I guess my question is finances.
Finances? Okay. You do worry a lot about them, don't you?
Well, I haven't worked for a while, yes.
Okay, so how about this? I'm going to give you two positive affirmations to say, okay?
Okay.
The first one is going to be how great it is I have this wonderful job that I really like that's paying me the money I'm worth now.
Okay.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah, can you repeat that again? I'm going to write it down.
How great it is I have this wonderful job that I really like that's paying me the money I'm worth now.
Okay.
The second one to say is, what am I going to do with all the excess money that I now have?
Okay.
Reason why you're putting now in it, it's because the universe knows no time frame, so you're giving it one.
Uh-huh.
Because they'll give what you ask for,
okay,
but it's at their time frame could be just about any time. So you make sure you put now in there, okay?
Okay.
You're actually coming up with a lot of fears, a lot of sadness because of it, a lot of worry going on, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you got to kind of eliminate those worries at least to make them positive,
okay,
all right? Then you come up with good karma. So are you trying to get a job like right now?
Am I trying to what?
Get a job.
Yeah, I am.
Okay, sometime during this month yet, you're going to be have an opportunity to actually talk to a couple people.
Okay.
And you do come up, again, with anything is possible, which means you could have it, and you come up with the star, which means God's blessing you for better things to come.
Okay.
So get those two positive affirmations out there, like, right away, and you'll start to see things come to you a lot better. You do come up with a change of lifestyle for the better with more money coming anytime from July on.
Okay, a change of lifestyle could be, could that also include moving or?
Yeah, it could.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Okay,
thank
bye.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Bye-bye.
I think it's very important, too, when we're dealing with financial worry, is to pay our bills with great joy.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we pay it in the, oh, my God, there's not enough mode.
Right.
And it really does, you know, that law of attraction, that secret, that it's true.
Yeah.
We attract it. We're co-creators, and so we get caught in co-creating the same patterns of fear around certain things. So what great affirmations, what great things to fill that. And we have to learn to form new patterns. So it sounds like your book has a lot of techniques like that in it.
At the back of my book, it has a whole page or a whole page and a half of positive affirmations. It says what it's for. It says how to say it.
Welcome to the airwaves.
Hello.
Hi. State your name and where you're calling from, please.
This is Midori, and I'm calling from Tacoma.
Hi. Welcome to the airwaves. Nancy?
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great. Do you have a question?
Any messages from my spirit guides?
I have actually a couple that are around you. One is a real strong guide. It's a lady, though. I mean, she may have, like, some masculine energy, but it's a lady. And she comes up, you know, trying to help you because a lot of times you question yourself. You do a whole bunch of thinking, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Every time you start to think and rethink and rethink, you're actually not listening to what they're trying to tell you because you're not allowing it. So it's almost like you got to get logic out of the way. And just when you get up in the morning, say to yourself, what am I supposed to learn for today? And then don't think, don't ask a question. Just kind of be quiet for a little while. You'd be surprised what kind of energy comes. So I have two around you. The other one that's around you is a very, very smart one. That's another lady. She knows how smart you are, but you don't always act that. And sometimes you sell yourself kind of short, don't you? So be careful not to do that, okay?
Okay.
You do come up with a good victory card for yourself. You're actually getting a lot stronger, aren't you?
I'm getting stronger?
Mm-hmm.
Like I have been working on a lot of things, yes.
Yeah, because, see, you're actually coming up as a Queen of Wands, which means you're still nice, you still have good compassion, but you're getting to that point where it comes easier to say no, it's getting easier to set boundaries. Those two guys that I just talked about, they are thrilled that you're working on yourself. They are thrilled that you're, you know, you're doing what you need to do for yourself. It hasn't been an easy trip, though, has it?
No, not at all.
No, because you come up with a cruelty card, because a lot of times you just go, I'm just too tired, okay?
Like right now.
And the thing is, when you say, I'm really too tired, and you surrender and say, okay, just help me out, and then again, back off, you'd be surprised how well things can turn out.
Okay, just trust. I have to work on that trust and relax.
the trust sometimes is hard, but it does work. You've gone through a lot of ups and downs, haven't you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But see, don't hold on to them, okay? Don't hold on to them. Do you have a sister?
Okay.
No, do you have a sister?
Do I have a sister? I have two older and one younger.
Which one is kind of the moodiest of the three?
The second.
Be real careful with her. Do you talk with her?
Not too often.
If she happens to ask you what you think she should do about something, if I were you, I probably wouldn't tell her. I would turn it back to her and say, what do you want to do about it, or what do you think you should do about it? I would make her make the choice, because even though you probably have the best answer in the world, if she follows that and it doesn't work for any reason, guess who is going to take the blame? So be kind of careful with her, okay?
Okay.
The other thing is that you do show that you get bored and discontented easily, because things don't happen as quick as you'd like them to.
Yeah, I do. So me. I've heard that before.
Kind of just relax. Just kind of like lighten up a little bit, okay? You'd be surprised how much better life could be if you just did, you know, just didn't put all that energy out there like, oh, my God, what about today? Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Good. Take care.
All right. You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it is true. We leak a lot of our energy that we would like to use for creating on our fears and things that aren't going to happen, that we just kind of deplete ourselves, get caught in that little hamster wheel some days. And I wish I could say as exempt, but I think everybody does it.
Yeah,
it's a common illness.
They really do. And it does take a little bit of time, takes a little bit of practice, you know, to not let yourself stay caught up in.
Well, I think also as you become more spiritual, that co-responsibility and awareness expands. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi. Yes, you have time for another question?
Sure. Name and where you're calling from.
Lee from Illinois.
Hi.
Hi. Like the last caller, I'm interested in any information about guides and overall spiritual progress.
Yours is coming up quite good. You've actually done a lot of practicing getting things right, haven't you?
Yes. I think so.
I think so, too. You are coming up with the Ten of Cups, which is good. Things are actually coming for you and from it. The other thing is that, just like I told the lady before you, you have to try to keep yourself a little bit centered, a little bit more focused. You know, kind of like, don't be so hard on yourself, because your guides are there. They are trying to help you. You have a male guide around you, actually. He's very, very smart. Very, very smart. He's dark-haired, by the way. So sometimes,
pardon me? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last.
The spirit guide has got dark hair for some reason.
Oh, okay.
But he's very, very smart, and he knows how smart you are, but you're another one who is, it's not that you're selling yourself short, you just aren't selling yourself, you know, in a more positive way. It's like you beat yourself up a lot. Is that true?
Well, not really. I just, I have to spend so much energy having 2 feet on the ground, and I want to be able to fly, because my interests are so broad. But I, I'm just frustrated in that way.
Okay, because you do have like a lot of guides around you. So all you, I have another guide is a man, and another one is a female. Those are more gentler ones. You know, they want you to nourish yourself. They want you to be kind to yourself. And you are trying to do that. They also want you to know that all you have to do is ask for their help, and they're going to be there to help you with whatever it is that you're trying to do. Okay? So it's like, don't be afraid to ask for the help. Don't be afraid to be quiet. Don't be afraid to listen. you know, sometimes your patience level is not quite as good as it could be or should be. At those times, if you could just relax a little bit more, take a few more deep breaths, and allow your guides to come through, they would be much better at helping you get through some of the choices and decisions that you're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so again, it's kind of like you're doing it right. It's not you're not doing it right. It's just that you got to just relax a little bit, you know, ask for their help. Listen to what they're telling you, whether it's a feeling that you're getting or, you know, you may hear something or they may turn on a light for you, which is say, hey, you know, trust what your ideas are. You know, they come across in different ways for you. And I know that you know they're there. So all you have to do is just ask for their help because they actually like that.
Yeah.
As far as the general part goes, you also do way too much thinking sometimes. But now you're better at it, okay? Because you used to think, but you have gotten better at it. During this next 6 months, whatever you try to do for yourself, you actually come up with a good victory card. So this would be a good time for you to constantly move forward, whether it's with the spiritual growth or just any kind of growth you're trying to do. It looks like it should turn out to be quite good for you, okay? Your own intuition is getting better and better and better, so the more you trust it, the better it works, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Well, thank you.
Before you go, I'm going to say something, too. You know, when there's two readers on the phone, you get double duty here for a minute. I also think there's some kind of big move coming around what you want to do for a living. Like you've been sidetracked about something, but now, like in July, August, it seems doors just opened for you. So, you know, it's kind of a careful what you wish for you can get at time. Wish big, darling.
Yeah, real big. You come up with the best money card in the deck.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Lots of blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, your book is Raised by Angels, and your website is?
www.nancys, that's N-A-N-C-Y-S, psychicresources.com.
And you're on the radio, on BBS Radio, on Mondays at 3 p.m.
Yeah, 3 p.m. Central Time.
Central Time.
And Achieve Radio. Central Time.
Okay, we probably have time for one more reading, so welcome to the airwave. Hello?
Hello?
This is Brian from Indiana.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Hello there. My question is, I've been seeing flashes and lights in my physical vision. I've been seeing a lot of purple and blues, flashes of purple and blue, and I didn't know what, is this opening up psychically? What is this?
Yeah, the purple and blue flashes usually is more psychic openness, awareness, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just stay relaxed with all of it, okay? The first time it happened, it kind of freaked you out a little bit, didn't it?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, well, they do things like that to really get your attention.
So oh, they have been.
Good.
A lot of paranormal activity around this house.
Yeah, see, you come up as a Prince of Wands, which means you have a great deal of psychic ability. You know, it also means that you have a great deal of awareness about it. And so they're actually coming to you, letting you know that they're there. And you might want to ask them, who are you and what do you want? Because maybe they're there to help you with something, or maybe they're there for you to help them.
Mm.
Okay?
Interesting.
So it's, who are you?
I've never heard it like that, like spirit beings asking for physical help from us. That's pretty amazing.
You'd be surprised, you know.
Wow.
You'd be surprised. A lot of times they come through for all different kinds of reasons, but you just say, who are you and what do you want? Wait about 30 seconds. Don't think during that 30 seconds. Just allow yourself to feel, okay? Mm-hmm. If you don't get any kind of a response or an answer, ask again. Same way. Mm-hmm. Don't be mean about it. Don't be demanding about it. Just ask nicely. Again, wait about 30 seconds and see what they have to say. And kind of practice that every now and then when you're feeling that kind of energy going on in your house.
Yes, I'm starting to feel the energy. I can't see it yet, but I'm a little intuitive. I can feel it. But I was wondering, do you see any guides or angels around?
You have actually three. I have two men and a woman. It shows the one. I think it's a guide. He's kind of a cool guy. Kind of a cool guy. Laid back. Doesn't want you to get hyper about anything, wants you to stay cool, because he knows if you stay cool about stuff, it actually reaches you at a much better speed than if you get all uptight, okay?
Yes.
The lady one She's very, very smart. She's actually trying to get you to understand that there's a lot that's going to be going on for you. All you have to do is stay open enough and allow it. So that's a good one. And then your intuitive card comes up, so that's really good because you are getting much, much better. The other one is just kind of sitting there, not necessarily doing anything just yet, just kind of observing to see how you're handling everything. Because at first when this started, it got to you.
Yes, I seen a spirit being past my window like a shadow, and that kind of freaked me out in the beginning.
So it would be real important, again, you know, like if you see that or you feel it, you just say, who are you and what do you want?
Yes, I've been accepting it very much, opening it, like observing without judgment.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to be. You're also coming up for yourself with success three times better than you think with whatever you try to do.
Mm.
So any adjustments that you need to make, just make them. Don't necessarily try to rush them, but make them, okay? And then once you do that, you come up with a good completion card, which means it really does work out quite well. Even if you have to rework it a couple times, don't give up on anything, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for calling in, and I'm sorry to stop it, but unfortunately, time's up. Thank you
thank
so
you,
much.
Nancy, and thank you, Tira.
Yeah, you're welcome. Make sure you journal. I think it's very important when you start awakening to keep journals so that, because the stuff comes so fast, even for Nancy and I, that sometimes, especially when students are learning or things are happening, if you keep a journal, you'll find a pattern that Spirit's bringing to you so that you can facilitate it. Nancy, it was absolutely a marvelous, exciting time to have you on my show.
Oh,
and please make sure that you check our archives so that you can go to her website and look forward to reading your book, Raised by Angels, Nancy Wallace. And thank you so much for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Lots of angel blessings to you.
You too.
So remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and to stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Until next week, may you have lots of angelic blessings. Bye.